Episode 215, October 19th, 2015.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is the Rob and Joe Show.
The Dave Chappelle and Louis C.K. of Fire Hall Comedy.
The Rob and Joe Show.
This is the racist Rob and racist Joe Show.
Some of their best friends are black.
The Rob and Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to the Rob and Joe Show.
Come on, everybody, let's get to the brainstorming.
I worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe Show.
The Rob and Joe Show.
Now on with the countdown.
With a combined 73 firings, if you count marriages in the Baltimore Comedy Factory, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
So this Joe Robinson Ravens curse, I mean, we're joking, but at some point, Joe, we got to actually acknowledge that it could be a real thing.
No, I refuse to acknowledge that.
They're 0-5 with you as doing the postgame. They won
That's
one
true.
Game, and that was a night game. Have they ever lost five in a row, ever, in their history?
No. I don't think that, well, they're not in jeopardy. Well, I guess they're in jeopardy to lose five in a row, but they've only lost two. They lost three in a row, then two in a row, right?
Yeah, but that's only because you weren't doing the postgame.
Right, no, that's what I'm saying. I mean, I'm not doing the next postgame. They'll probably win.
Well, Eric the actor, he is having a field day with this. Can we just call him the president of our chat room, or am I giving him too much credit?
He's such a dick. I don't want to give him that title.
Some presidents are dicks. The leader of the chat room, the captain of the chat room.
He's a needler.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Can I give some props real quick to some of these names in chat, which are making me laugh?
Please do.
We got Rob puts FanDuel above career.
By the way, I took issue with that because I'd already written my thing before that. You know, the game started essentially.
No, this was last week, not this week.
Yeah, I know, and I'd already had all the jokes and everything pre-written. The only thing I needed to add was the facts of the games, which I can't.
Well, Walker Hayes in chat, probably not the real Walker Hayes, reference to Gramps hitting on her last week.
Shooting a pilot, how could you be in chat?
Joe's shower smells like piss. That's a reference to me last week saying that I peed in the shower. Please, people are not going to admit to that. Okay, whatever. Where do acorns come from? That's a reference to me last week. And
it
Joe's
came off really dirty last week, Joe.
I did?
You're eating acorns and peeing in the shower?
Oh, you mean not dirty, like metaphorically dirty, like real, really dirty?
Yeah.
Well, I would say I just ate one acorn, but that's not true. I've done that twice now.
Yeah. Big connoisseur. What was the last one? I cut you off.
Joe's next girlfriend is in high school now, and then no surprise party for Katie. I don't get that one.
I don't know.
But there's all the regular names too. Gramps, Eric the Actor, Marcus, Robbie, and then some unfunny ones that I'm not going to mention.
Eric the Actor says, a spy report, this was after the loss last night, the Ravens loss, 49ers just gave the game ball to Joe of Rob and Joe Show. And then he posts the cover of Sports Illustrated from 2 months ago that says Super Bowl 50, why the Ravens will win it all.
Wow.
Win it. And then he blames the curse on you. He also took a shot at me, though. I'm at the DC Improv October 29th through November 1st with my buddy Tommy Davidson. If you listen to the show, we know that Tommy and I have performed literally all over the world together, a lot of shows for the military, including the infamous one in Afghanistan, New Year's, where you know, we had the sirens went off and, you know, some rocket got, we almost died, Joe. No, we didn't. But we sort of, they were fired upon, if you will. And I'm working with Tommy. So I went on the DC Improv podcast. They invited me on and they wanted me to tell some stories about us working together. So I told that story. And now Eric, the actor, is like, oh, Rob, just doing these war stories in quotes. F my life. Fuck my life.
So he basically is thinking that you're trying to represent yourself as braver and more dangerous than you really were. I got you.
Yes. Even though every time I tell this story, I say it really wasn't that big a deal.
How about Marcus in chat saying, when is he a guest on the show? Like, he's instigating. Marcus is in chat instigating again.
When is Tommy a guest on our show?
That's what he's asking.
When Eric the actor goes on AmeriCast.
There you go. That's fair. You know what? That is fair. When Eric the actor goes on AmeriCast, we'll get Tommy Davidson for this show.
We do need, if you guys don't know AmeriCast, you should know by now. It's our buddy Marcus Serta's show where he does a little wrap up, a breakdown, a roundup of all the more network shows with obviously the Mike O'Mara show leading the way. And you have a guest on there often, Steve Mermelstein. We make fun of quite a bit. And generally, the people have listened to they listen to every show. So therefore, they're able to speak on every show. But sometimes you have people on, like Steve Mermelstein, or the fella he had on this week, that it's obvious that they don't listen to our show at all. And when you ask a question regarding a clip you just played on our show, which now they've heard because you just played it, they're never able to answer it. So it's such a weird thing. It's like, yeah, I didn't listen to the show, but I do understand English. I can't give an opinion now. But they're like, I don't know, whatever.
How do you pick those guys, Marcus? Anybody willing? Is that how to get on AmeriCast?
Yeah, that's the application. It says name and are you willing? That's it.
Respond. I gotcha. Yeah, it is frustrating. I think what he's specifically talking about is you played the clip where I talked about peeing in the shower.
Right.
And there's two things that this guy said that infuriates me. By the way, give this guy credit. What's his name?
Tony Galli.
Tony Galli, the dick. So what, what Tony Galli did was you played the clip and then he goes, I can't comment or I didn't listen. Well, no, you did listen. And then he told you later that he couldn't comment about it because if people from work heard about that, he'd get fired.
Well, he had said that about a different topic. So I gathered from his discomfort that it was continuing in this realm that he just didn't want to talk about. He had made a comment off air about not making a lot of penis references.
So, I mean, how far away from the penis? I mean, every reference to a person, it's a guy has got a penis. I can't talk about it. Did he say you have a lot of bathroom? There's urinals in there. Penises pee into them. I can't, you know, where's the line?
We have a lot of penis talk, Joe. I got to admit we do.
So here's my question. If he were to get, I wonder what he does, because there's nothing I would love more than to get fired for in my private life disclosing that I peed in the shower. I just think of the lawsuit.
He's a public school teacher, so I think he's a little
sensitive. You think that if a public school teacher admits that they pee in the shower, they'll be fired? Where does he think he lives?
Well, also, by saying you don't want to answer, that means you're saying, yes, you pee in the shower. Because if the answer was no, you would just say no. And by the way, you can also lie. You're not under oath. You can just say no. Hey, have you ever raped someone? I don't want to answer that. Well, then you must have raped someone. I don't want to get fired. I can't have people hearing about my rape history at my job.
I did confront him on it, but you're right. It has happened more than once where I will get a guest and, okay, they tend to be more likely to be Mike O'Mara show fans. So I need a Rob and Joe fan to come on the show. But they say, I didn't listen to the Rob and Joe show. And then somehow they try to wiggle out of answering a question, which is mundane because I'm taking the clip to ask the question, well, do you eat peanut butter and jelly sandwiches?
I can't answer. I didn't listen to the Rob and Joe show. Yeah, but that's the thing. I don't think that you need to bring on a fan of the Rob and Joe show. Just, I mean, during your correspondence, find out if they're a moron. And if they are, pick somebody else.
Well, one of the reasons why I love doing the show is because I get to meet fans and we geek out about the shows we love. And every time I typically get a guest, we're geeking out. And I do love it. I mean, these guys are great. But yes, they tend to be more a fan of the Mike O'Mara show. So I'm going to go with somebody.
I mean, that makes sense.
No, of course, and they should be. It's a better show. But at the end of the day, they should be able to comment on something that they just heard. And if they're like, I'm not willing to talk about anything that I hear, well, then don't have them on.
Yeah, it's like, hey, Joe, you didn't watch the Michigan State game. But this is what happened. Whose fault is that? Was that the punter's fault or the coach's fault? Oh, I don't know. I didn't watch the game. But I just showed you the clip. No, I don't really watch it.
Sorry, I need to get the whole thing
exactly.
In order to understand.
Why don't you have our Miggity Mac come on, our listener of the year? I know he's contributed show clips or suggestions.
Yeah, I would love to. Again, one of the things I love are those origin stories. I think, Joe, you've mentioned this before. You like origin stories. Yes. I like hearing from those people who go, I was flipping through iTunes, it popped up, or I was somewhere, and all of a sudden I just came across it. A friend introduced me to it, and boom, now next thing I know, I'm listening to every Rob and Joe show.
Can I correct something that Marcus said earlier?
Yes.
Go ahead, Robbie.
He said that it just takes a name and willingness, but that's not true, because I know of one person who reached out to Marcus to be on his show, and Marcus has not answered this guy.
Would that be Chris for Steve?
Exactly.
Oh, okay. Well, it's funny. We haven't talked. I don't think we talked about Chris for Steve in a couple of weeks. But
right. You
know, I broke up with Chris for Steve out, and of course he's blocked me. I can't see his page. But I don't care. Other than the fact that people are saying that he's going on there and like posting videos about what a dick I am.
And by the way, I have responded to Chris, but the last thing I said to him was, why would you want to come on Omericast now that you've broken up with the Rob and Joe show? And he said, I hate Joe, but I still like Rob.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm sure he thinks that if he goes on your show, you'll have a quadruple the ratings. He moves the needle. Wait for sweeps week to get on your show.
Marcus, you're welcome to have Chris or Steve on.
No, you're not. No, I don't want him saying he has any connection to our show.
No, please, I want him to have Chris or Steve on.
I'm shooting for Tommy Davidson now.
All right. Well, maybe Chris or Steve could just do his Tommy Davidson impression. And then it's a win-win. Welcome to the show, everybody. Big week for us, as in this Sunday. We've been talking about it forever, but we really have one final push here for our murder mystery show at McGoobies this Sunday. No Ravens that day. They'll be losing on Monday night this week. 5 p.m., McGoobies.com, MAGOOBYS. The newly dead game, we did it earlier a couple weeks ago at the Draft House in Arlington. But this is our McGoobies, the club where this all started. So come on out, people. I promise you it's going to be bigger and better than the last laugh. You saw that one. Be there.
Yes. As a matter of fact, listen to this. So I talked yesterday to Mike Anderson. Mike Anderson is the producer of the 98 Rock Morning Show.
Right. Friend of
ours. And I'm on the 98 Rock Morning Show as the fill-in whenever Scott or Justin are sick or out. So, I mean, I've earned a little cachet, right? I mean, I've earned the right to go on there and plug, right? Especially
sure.
If I'm not asking much. I asked for one segment. And Mike sends me a text and goes, hey, are you willing to do a phoner at 9:20 on Thursday? So I said no. I wasn't being a dick. By the way, I appreciate it. I get it. They're trying to run a show. They're doing me a favor. I get that. But I just said, nah, don't worry about it. I'll just have Justin promote. But
yeah, Justin is the star of the show, and he's on the morning show.
Right. That's the other thing. I do think that it's interesting. First of all, it's a good product, right? So it's not like, you know, without mentioning names, there are certain people that used to plug shows and then you go there, there'd be six people there and it would look like, oh, wait a minute. This isn't what I thought that it was.
But
the murder mystery, there'll be between 150 and 200 people there. It will be a packed house. You'll go and it'll be a great show. So it's worth something to get behind. And their morning guy is the star of the show. In addition, Scott Reardon is supposed to. He's supposed to be on this show with his wife.
Yeah.
As one of the couples competing for the prizes. So it's really interesting. It's Justin's project. Scott is now involved in it. And I know
it's our show. You're a fill-in. I'm right on there regular basis, semi-regular. We do the post game, so we're pretty well attached to the station.
Of course, 9:20 Thursday. I'm not mad at Mike. I'm genuinely not. I'm not mad at him, but I just said don't worry about it. Do you think that's the right thing? I mean, I guess I could still do it, but
there's no harm in doing it. I mean,
there is. I mean, I'm at work, so I have to stop work and I got a call in there. I mean, I guess I could do that, but
I don't care about that. I mean, there's no harm in the it can only help the show. It won't help nearly as much. There's probably a third of the listeners, maybe.
Oh, I think it's much less than a third of the listeners. Yeah,
one tenth of the listeners, then it's say 7:20.
Yeah, not only that, that's an hour that they've changed. So they start at 5:30 now, and then the 9 o'clock hour just has more music in it. So I mean, I think people that are there to listen to comedy, the 9 o'clock hour is an hour that they're just not interested in.
What's the number? If I said to you that would guarantee X amount of more sales, what number would you say it's worth doing it?
I mean, honestly, if it would sell two tickets, I would do it.
All right, we'll do it.
All right. Well, I've already said I won't. But what I will do is text. But I also asked Mike. I said, talk about it in the meeting and see if Scott's doing it. It's definitely worth talking about.
Well, that's the thing. It's a funny. It'll be an interesting segment on the actual show. The morning.
Yes, that two people from the morning show are participating in a live play is what it is.
Yeah. And like, will they murder each other? I mean, whatever. But you know, they're good to us. But come out.
Eric, the actor says in chat, Rob has no concept of people working at 9 a.m.
Yeah, I don't. What kind of concept would I need to have to understand that?
Yeah, I think it's just the.
It's not one of his better jokes. Yeah.
Really, I liked it.
Yeah. I have no What's it like? Is it different than working at 10 a.m.? By the way, I get to my teaching job at 9:15 every time. So I don't know. Is it different at 9 a.m.? Is it a lot different?
Now he says 10 more people equals 10 less download cards Rob has to sell to get that ring. Yes. Wow. So he got multiple insults on that to you.
He needs to get some new material.
You're right about that. He does.
I mean, I sell T-shirts. I sell CDs. Like the download card, it's like the third thing on the pecking order of Rob Mayer merchandise. But he's still going with it. I actually give the download card away for free when they buy a T-shirt. But again, Eric the actor, anti-downloading things. Only likes records, tapes, and CDs. Against iTunes and all technology. Unless it's a physical, tangible thing that you put into a machine.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, I know we touched on the Ravens broadcast. I'd like to talk about that. Should we take a break first? Because I want to...
No, wrap it up, and then we'll take a break.
Okay, well... So we have somebody who runs the board. The producer of the post game is me and you and Tommy Simbazo. We produce the show.
The content, yes.
The content is produced by us, and then it's this person's responsibility to get it out over the air. Well, it's already difficult, and the reason that it's difficult is that the team that was supposed to win the Super Bowl has one win in six games. It's already difficult. People don't want to hear about their kid getting beat. It's hard to get people to listen.
They don't want to call in. Yeah.
It has to be flawless. It has to be, they have to hear this and go, okay, I can consume this and this will help me through this. But when we make it difficult for the listeners, it makes it almost impossible to do the show successfully, meaning a show is successful when people are tuning in and staying tuned in. That's when a show is successful. So we keep tweaking it. Last week, there was a bunch of problems. We talked about it last week on the show. This week, the person who's running the board, I'm not going to mention his name, he says, hey, we're going to pre-record the first break and we're just going to drop it in and just play it because of the difficulty in changing studios, whatever. I don't know. I said, okay, no problem. And we go into the studio, we record it. So it's even a better opportunity for you to listen back to it and say, okay, well, that's good, that's bad, whatever.
Sure.
So he created this produced element and he put it in and it played and you couldn't hear a fucking word I was saying.
Yeah, bed was louder. That's supposed to be just underneath was louder, much louder than your actual speech.
The music bed was so loud that you couldn't hear a word I was saying, and then I kept getting text from people who were listening saying, I can't hear you. Four people text me during the show, including the music director. the music director is saying, hey, the bed's too loud. I can't hear you. And of course, I'm frustrated because I'm like, yeah, it's your person. Your person did this. Like, I think he's reprimanding me. He's not. But, you know, he's saying, hey, you need to fix. No, no, no. Your guy needs to fix it. Now, right. Here's the deal. The guy who runs the board, he's a good guy.
Hey, he's a cool dude.
I like him.
He's trying.
But he is so stressed out that when he, and then the second break, I couldn't hear myself. And then the third break, the caller, we couldn't hear. Then we did your break. We did Tommy's break. Then the next break, when we had the caller again, we couldn't record that. I mean, this is literally four fuck-ups in the first six breaks. But I felt I liked the guy so much, and he looked so stressed and anxious that I couldn't get pissed.
Yeah, he's not that experienced, I think. He's learning, but he does appear to be slightly in over his head at this point.
Well, this is the thing.
Is that rude to say? I don't think so.
Well, he's in over his head. First of all, somebody has a responsibility to make sure that he is able to do the things that he's not able to do. Somebody does. Now, I'm not blaming I don't know who I'm blaming. It is somebody's fault. Now, obviously, the execution that day, that's his fault. That's the guy who runs it. But if you don't equip somebody or they're not prepared, you have to own some of that too. And of course, I have to own it because now I have to be good enough to overcome these issues. But these issues come like an avalanche after a loss. So it's right. A very difficult process. But you know what? Well, I actually feel bad for the guy running the board. I don't give him any crap about it, but it's bad.
Well, let's ask Marcus. You're in radio. I'm sure you've experienced people running the board that don't know exactly what they're doing. I mean, what's the remedy here?
Remedy is to get rid of him.
All right.
The other thing too is if you
train him up.
You have the elements. You can have it remade. You can even ask one of your audio experts, like your brother, or send it to me, and I'll take care of it for you. Just send me the pieces. But internally, the only thing that you can do is talk to the people who are texting you. If the music director is texting you, go have a conversation with them and say, hey, look, I don't know if he needs additional training. I don't know if he's just overwhelmed by trying to produce the show and he just can't handle the production that needs to be done behind the scenes.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm not going to do that. I'm just not.
Why?
I'm not going to do it.
Why?
Maybe I should, but I'm not going to. You know why?
Well, no, Joe, these are legitimate criticisms. You're not being a dick.
I understand that, but maybe I should. Maybe I should do that. Maybe this is me doing it right now. Maybe this right here.
I mean, this is, yeah, but to actually speak, to have a meeting, say, look, we need to tighten out the production. How can we make this happen?
Yeah,
it's your name is on the show.
Yeah, you're right.
You got to do something.
Yeah, you're right.
That's the point right there, is that you are going to be the one. You're the talent, so it doesn't matter because the listener is hearing you, and they don't realize who's around you. They're not thinking about the
other
people around
you. Oh, no, you're right. When they hear the show, you're right. When they hear the show, hell, even people that work there, you understand? Even people that work there are like, wow, they're texting me saying, I can't hear you, instead of texting the person operating the board, right?
Right.
So you're right about that. If they're not distinguishing that, yeah, I got to make them aware. But it was pretty bad. Don't you agree?
Well, yeah, the entire first 2-3 minutes is unlistenable. And that's the start of the show. And at that point, if you're listening and you're like, well, this is, they don't even know what they're doing. You turn it.
You're right. You're right. And then the next break, I couldn't hear myself. I couldn't hear myself. So I didn't. I'm like, am I on? Am I on? And I'm just seeing arms waving. I have no idea what that means. The next break is the break we tried to take the phone call. We couldn't do it. Remember, we couldn't hear him, so we couldn't record it.
Right.
Then we did your break. We did Tommy's break. And then the next break was the break we tried to record somebody. No, we were live, not able to take that phone call. That was live. So the first three.
Yeah, you're right. We had a live phone call where we couldn't hear the caller.
The first three breaks were screwed up. You're right. So if somebody's listening and saying, hey, let me give this a chance. They couldn't hear me the first break. They heard two screwed up breaks until we got to the break where you did the AFC breakdown, North breakdown.
Yeah, I think what we're really saying here is that I did an amazing job and you struggled with your role.
Eric, the actor, said on in chat, DC 101 gained a lot of listeners during that time. They picked up the Sunday late night crowd.
Joe, do you manage people at your day job?
Yeah.
You do?
I do.
Okay, then I'm really confused, because this is one of those opportunities where I would think, as a manager, you have to manage that show, and
well,
you seem reluctant
work for
to
me.
Do that.
Right. He doesn't work for me. I guess me doing this is a passive aggressive way of me dealing with it, because I don't want to go narc on somebody. I don't want to do that.
No, no, right? I agree with Marcus here, Joe. This does seem like something you should have no trouble doing. And your original night show on 98 Rock, Irresponsible Radio, you weren't satisfied with the producer, and that person ended up being moved to another department. And then you got Robbie on board. So you were very proactive and doing something about that, and the show got better because of it.
Well, you know, I was a salaried employee, but you're right. I'm not even going to defend it. You're right. So Rick is going to say he wants to talk to me, and I'm going to say, all right, here's the situation. But I like this guy, the guy who's running the board. So I'm going to say, you know, if this is a guy who works there, you have a responsibility of making him more prepared to do this show. And Rob, if you don't prepare him, this is what the show's going to sound like.
Rob, quit being nice to him. Joe, you're a pussy.
All right. No, I like him, though. I am not going to stop being nice to him.
Yeah, you're coming off like a pussy, though.
But what I am going to do is tell the program director that he needs more training in order to be prepared to have nobody else in there watching him.
Yeah, we're not asking to do any fancy production. Just let's be able to take callers. Let's be able to be heard. And let's
they're not doing a bunch of production. He's not doing drops. We're asking barely anything of him.
Yeah. It's like we're asking him to be a game manager, a quarterback. Just don't throw interceptions.
I want him to be Trent Dilfer.
Let's take a break. We'll come back. Let me see. What are we going to talk about? Oh, yeah. It's Back to the Future Day coming up. Robbie is aroused. Robin Josho. Be right back.
Hey, it's Justin from the Justin Scott and Spiegel Morning Show. You may remember me from my critically acclaimed role as Bucky in Death of a Dentist. Well, my next star turn will be in a show called The Newly Dead Game, another original, hilarious, interactive comedy whodunit from the minds of Rob and Joe. Imagine, you're in a TV studio at a taping of the very popular game show Clash of Couples. I'll have a starring role, and if you're very, very lucky, you might play a part too. You might even be the murderer. It's going to be incredible, and there's going to be a limited number of performances, so don't miss it.
Next performance, October 25th at McGoobie's Joke House. Tickets on sale now. For upcoming show dates and more info, visit facebook.com/dielaughingproductions or robinjoe.com.
And now back to the Robin Joe Show.
Is it fair to say, Robbie, that your favorite trilogy is the Back to the Future trilogy?
Yes, and those movies as a whole in the first movie. I think the first movie is the single greatest screenplay of all time, and I think that it's among my top five favorite movies of all time.
And just let us know, what exactly is Back to the Future Day?
Back to the Future is the farthest point Marty McFly traveled to in the second movie. In October 21st, 2015, is where they took off in the DeLorean in the first film and they arrived at in the second film.
Okay.
So they arrived, and that's when they had the big skyscraper where he was a billionaire because he had stolen the sports book.
That did happen in Back to the Future Part 2, Joe, but that was in 1985 where Biff was the evil rich guy in the big hotel.
And that's where he references that the Cubs went to the World Series.
That happened in 2015.
Okay.
And they beat what team?
I don't know.
Miami. There was no Miami at the time.
Okay.
And there is now, but I believe they finished. No, the Phillies finished last. They finished second to last in their division.
And they're in the same league. But whatever, it's still impressive. So what exactly, how does one celebrate Back to the Future Day?
Well, the movie's going to be released in theaters on Wednesday, so you can go see it.
Back to the Future 2 is going to be released?
2, the most underrated of the
three. Are you going to go see it?
It's not a convenient time, and it's in the middle of the work week, so probably not. But if I was going to go see it, I would go see it in New York, because at the New York showing, there's going to be Christopher Lloyd, Leah Thompson, Michael J. Fox, and Huey Lewis.
Well, that's pretty awesome. That's pretty. Rank the four in terms of who you'd be most interested in having a conversation.
Of course, Michael J. Fox.
Okay, one. That's Fox.
Yes. Second would be Christopher Lloyd, of course.
Right. I don't know. I have a feeling I know who's next.
Huey Lewis.
Yes.
Because I love Huey Lewis. And Leah Thompson would be last.
See, I think I'd go Huey Lewis one. I'd be distracted by Michael J. Fox if he's shaking and stuff. I'd get
I would. I think I'd also like to go. I'd go Huey Lewis one also.
Yeah, I'd go Huey. I think I'd go Fox just to say that I talked to him. And then Thompson and then Lloyd.
All Back to the Futures have a fresh tomato. All of them do on Rotten Tomatoes.
Well, let me tell you why Back to the Future Part 2 is great.
Sure.
It has nothing to do with
the quality of the movie.
With the traveling to the future part. That's actually the weakest of all three trilogies when they go to 2015. The best part about Back to the Future Part 2 is that Marty, by stealing the sports almanac, screws up 1985. So when they get back to 1985, 1985 is all fucked up. And they have to go back to 1955. And that is the highlight of the movie, when they go back to the 1955 of the first movie. And there's two Martys running around. And they can't run into each other. It's so fantastic. And all the sets were destroyed in the first film. The school that they filmed that Fish Under the Sea dance at was completely remodeled. So they had to go back and recreate everything.
You're so excited.
It's the first film. And they do it seamlessly. It's fantastic to watch.
If Joe or I had a speech, a rant like that about, I don't know, poker or a football game.
Yeah, you edited it out of the show.
We'd be getting shit on right, chat. Exactly. Robbie would be upset.
Eric would be in chat telling us he was bored.
Right. But now they're loving it. Oh, I'll talk about the Fish of the Sea dance again.
Let's get back to the Future being one of the top five screenplays. Is this, I mean, do you think that that's a Robbie thing? Or do you think that genuinely it's the one of the top five screenplays in the history of film and should be considered such?
I think that Bob Gale and Robert Zemeckis would certainly tell you that it's their greatest screenplay.
And Back to the Future 2?
No, the first one. The first.
Okay. Okay.
No, I'm not talking about. I'm saying the original Back to the Future, the original screenplay, I think is one of the most brilliant screenplays ever written.
All right. Well, the Writers Guild of America has the 100 greatest screenplays.
Oh. Just anybody? Give us the top five. See if we get it back to the
future. All right. Number one, Casablanca.
Okay. Boring. No time travel. Next.
Number two, The Godfather.
Mm-hmm. That's arguable.
Number three, Chinatown.
Okay.
Number four, Back to the Future.
Is it really?
No, it's Citizen Kane. Number five, All About Eve. Annie Hall, Sunset Boulevard, Network, Some Like It Hot, Godfather 2, Butch Cassidy, Sundance Kid. I'm trying to get.
Yeah, can
Pulp
you leave?
Pulp Fiction is 16.
Yeah.
Shawshank, 22. Eternal Sunshine of Spotless Mind, 24. Wizard of Oz, 25. Double Indemnity. Groundhog Day, 27.
Yeah, there you go.
Fargo,
you
know,
when
32.
Robbie talked about that being a great screenplay, the first movie that popped in my head was Groundhog Day. And yeah. I, by the way, Back to the Future is a great movie. I'm not going to try to imply that it's not. It is a great movie. But it's
on the list. Anybody want to guess the number?
87.
Robbie?
55.
Wow. You are a fan. 56. Apocalypse Now is 55.
There you go. Okay. Right. No, Robbie, I'll give you credit. There's some credibility in the idea that it is. I mean, it's a magnificent story. And it's super creative and super innovative, but...
No, I think by it being 56 on this list...
Oh, no, that gives Robbie credibility.
Yeah, exactly. Because that, I mean, there's, you know, a million screenplays, a million movies made. So, yeah, I think that's legitimate. So, all right. Well, I don't know. I haven't probably seen that movie in 15, 20 years. Maybe I'll watch them all.
What if Robert Zemeckis had a guy who didn't know how to work the camera? Do you think he'd say anything to him?
No, he just let the movie tank.
It's pointing down.
He likes
it's
the
in
guy.
Black and white. Yeah.
He would definitely fire him.
All right. Well, happy Back to the Future Day, Robbie.
Well, on the day this gets downloaded by most people, it'll be Back to the Future Day. So everybody go out and celebrate.
All right. You can explain that movie to your girlfriend.
Yeah. Good luck.
she'll understand it.
She doesn't know what back or future means. How the hell she, how they gonna explain it to her?
Do any of you guys watch the show Empire?
No.
Well, neither do I, but it's a huge hit. I guess it's like a soap opera kind of a vibe, a nighttime soap opera about a record label. And I think it's on Wednesday night. It is. And whenever it's on, I always see tons of people tweeting and Facebooking. It's just social media is all about this show. So I'm at this gig in D.C., where once again, it's a mostly black audience. And I decide that I'm going to go up there and say, hey, I don't know if you guys are DVRing Empire, but now the main star of this is this character named Cookie. I said, Cookie just got shot. She's dead. Thinking they're going to laugh, but no, I'm joking. They believed me.
They're upset with you?
They were like, what? No way. They're talking. They're looking on their phone. They're freaking out. And I'm like, you guys, this is a joke. This is a comedy show. I'm like the ninth person. You haven't realized that we're telling jokes up here? But if I'd known that, I would have just kept it going, like, for as long as I could. Because, I mean, they were really upset, visibly. You know,
I don't have any TV shows I watch anymore other than The Walking Dead. That's it. I'm the opposite of Robbie. By the way, I love TV.
You watch Better Call Saul, Joe.
Well, yeah. You're right, but it's not on, so but I'm only watching.
It's only because it's not on, but it's one of your shows you watch.
But I'm just saying I currently watch one show. I think it's the fewest in my life that I've ever watched.
Yeah, that is strange to me because I know you do like TV. Well, is there a character that you would have been, just not even a current show ever, that if they died before they did or died where they never died, they died when they shouldn't have, that you would have been like really upset about? Like you would have been, like if Walter White dies in season 3, I mean, you stop watching the show.
Yeah, well, I probably wouldn't stop watching the show because that's a Vince Gilligan thing. Like he knows what he's doing, so right. I trust him. It'd be hard. I'd have to be like, all right, let's see what you're doing, but I would. Because look at this current show that he's doing right now. There's no Walter White, and it's fucking fantastic. So I would continue to watch it. And I am trying to think, but all the shows that I've really loved, like even True Detective, yes, McConaughey was great. But the creator of that show, although he threw a turd out the second season, but the creator of that show, I think he just nailed it.
Yeah, but so that's also one season, so you knew.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of a character.
Like if Tony Soprano dies in season 3, I mean, are you following the show to the rest of the family acts?
Yeah, it is funny that because The Wire is considered by many to be the greatest show in television history.
Omar dying would have been up.
Yeah, I would say there isn't a character that I'd be like, well, I can't deal with that. It was they had so many great characters.
Right. There wasn't a principal character like a Walter White or Tony Soprano. Right. The show revolved.
I guess it would have been McNulty if there was going to be one, right?
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Yeah, but that's, I mean, it was probably 10% of the show.
I don't know. I think I would have been okay. I think I just would have. You know what? I'm just always going to keep watching. Like when The Office, when Michael Scott was no longer on it. I mean, it sucked, but I still watched it.
I didn't. Matter of fact, I broke up with it right before. We probably even talked about that on this show.
Yeah, I just had to see it through.
Game of Thrones did that to their fans. Every time you liked a character, you got killed.
No, you're right. They're going through that right now with the Stop Listening If You Care. Jon Snow, beloved character. Now there's rumors if he's really
He wasn't dead. My beloved character.
Well, no. Yeah, but The Walking Dead does a good job of killing somebody pretty important every year.
I know if Daryl dies, Tawanda will be, she'll be fine.
Well, yeah, I mean, there are a couple characters. Like, obviously, if they kill off Carl's son, Rick, Rick's son, Carl, everybody will cheer.
We'll rejoice.
Pick up,
yeah.
It will pick up, right, viewership. Everybody will be so excited about his death. But no, I think that if Rick and Daryl are the two. I even think, you know, Michonne, if she dies, I think still think people are going to be okay.
No, I think it's Michonne to die, please.
I think it's Rick and Daryl.
I think people love Glenn, too.
Yep, Glenn, too.
All right, no.
We're so sexist.
Oh, we are, yeah.
Fuck. Michonne's just a bad actress. That's why I want her to die.
No, do you want Felicia Rashad to take her place, Robbie?
That would be an improvement.
I just saw a show that's coming on where Felicia Rashad is the mom. Yeah,
I saw it too. What was it?
What is it?
I can't remember. I saw
it. Oh, the person I thought about was Robbie.
What if her husband ends up being a rapist in real life also?
Oh, that'd be great. That would be great. Anything bad that can happen to Felicia Rashad. I mean, is there a worse actor or actress that gets that kind of consistent? They get to work again. You understand? Like, it isn't that she was just bad and on this iconic show, but she keeps getting hired. Like, oh, good, yeah, we can get Felicia Rashad. They just keep bringing her on. And just to be
so
horrible.
Many sitcoms that they're not asking a lot out of you as an actor or actress.
She's Felicia Ayers Allen Rashad.
But she's noticeably terrible.
But most sitcoms are noticeably terrible. You know, it's the lowest common denominator of TV, don't you think?
Yeah, I guess you're right.
I mean, I'm not counting reality TV or game shows, but I mean, the sitcom, it's, you know, you can, most of them are awful. Some are awesome, but most of them are just shitty.
I'm on Felicia Rashad's IMDb, and her most current show is, sorry, she's been in 55 things. That's not that easy. Creed. What the hell is that?
Hey, on our Facebook page today, Amy Michelle Berger put a link up about, see if I can find the exact same quote of it.
On the right page. Oh, that it's better to be, oh, I know what she's in. She's the mom in the new Rocky movie.
Oh,
Felicia Rashad.
Yes. Yes.
So what they did was they got
this
kid to play Apollo Creed's son, and all of a sudden, here comes this fucking piece of crap actress. Not believable at all. So don't do it. Your dad died or whatever. You know, you know the formula.
But I'll still see it. Amy puts on our website, our Facebook, 10 reasons you should date the funny guy. Normal title.
Give them to me.
But then I look at the picture. It's two men. It's from pride.com.
So what is she implying?
That men should want to date us.
Yeah, they probably do want
to
date.
It's not. It's what was Amy implying.
Yeah, I mean, I'm secure enough with myself that
you
Amy
used a pronoun.
Yeah, I'm sorry. What did I say? Did I say she?
Yes.
Oh, sorry. I'm secure enough with myself that if that's what Amy is insinuating, I'm okay with that.
Well, here are the 10 reasons.
Go ahead.
One, he's socially adept. I think both of us fit that.
I agree.
Constantly smiling and laughing. That seems annoying to me, and I don't think that's true. But
we're not constantly smiling and laughing, or are they, the person that we're with?
That we being the funny guy would be constantly smiling and laughing.
But we don't constantly smile and laugh.
Right, and I also think that would be a negative.
Okay.
Three, he knows not to take life too seriously. Check.
True.
Four, he's smart and creative. I agree with that.
Yes.
Five, you know your friends will love him. Yes, everyone's.
True.
I've ever dated their friends love me.
We're beloved.
Beloved. Six, he's observant. Comics are observant.
Mm-hmm.
Seven, he's confident. Well, at least we could fake it, but I think we're fairly confident.
I don't necessarily believe that, well, maybe funny people are confident, but not all comics are confident.
True. Eight, he's not a dramatic person. I agree with that.
Really?
Nine.
There's so much drama, especially in the comedy community. Well,
not comedians, just funny guys.
But aren't the funniest people the comedians?
Not yes, but I mean, most people that are funny aren't comedians. They're just funny. Nine, you get to have silly sex with him.
What? That's horrible. Silly sex is awful.
But that's not the only type of sex. You can have sex where you try new things, make mistakes, crack some jokes, and laugh together. Silly sex could
be just
as bonding as passionate. I've never had silly gay sex.
I don't think I've ever had silly sex.
Gay sex seems less silly to me than straight sex. I don't know. I think there'd be more opportunity for silly straight sex.
It's in your butt.
Yeah. 10, there's no better medicine than laughter. Oh, silly sex would be better medicine. So I think what Amy's trying to tell us is that we would crush it with gay men. So let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll delve deeper into that very subject. Robin Joshua, be right back.
FamousSmoke.com, the world's premier cigar site, wants to know, what are you going to do with your $10 cash back reward that we're going to give you just for buying your favorite cigars? Bobby from Houston writes,
we got one of them swear jars in the office. You know, every time you let out a swear, you got to throw in a quarter. I figure my free $10 ought to hold me over through lunch. Ain't that stupid swear jar.
So how can you get your free cash back reward? Well, it couldn't be easier. Just go to FamousSmoke.com, and when you place an order for $100 or more, we're going to give you $10 cash back at checkout. That's right, you get $10 as your reward from FamousSmoke.com, along with some super tasty cigars. So what are you going to do with your $10 cash back reward? While you're deciding, head over to FamousSmoke.com and click the comedy button to claim your free $10 cash back on us. FamousSmoke.com. That's FamousSmoke.com.
And now back to the Robin Joe Show.
I think it's no real shock that a guy would do better. He'd be more likely to go into a gay bar and get laid than just a regular bar.
Of course.
So, but the question is, like, how many times more likely do you feel like you would be to, would it be for you to get laid at a gay bar than just going to the local bar down the street?
Well, I believe that at a gay bar, I would get laid every time I went. I believe that. I'm serious. Because, yeah. I mean, when you're a guy, it depends on, you know, it depends on the guy. But a lot of guys, you're like, oh, I'm going out in pursuit of a female. And then you have to find a female that's willing to do whatever it is that you're in pursuit of.
Yeah.
But if you... And again, and a lot of times what guys will do is they will lower their criteria to meet their objective, right?
Mm-hmm.
That happens all the time.
Yeah, all the time.
So, but if you are a guy, somebody there will be willing to do it and you'll be willing to do them. Because if you're, if it's a female, you're like, all right, I'm looking for a seven or an eight. Oh, I couldn't get that. All right, here's a six. With a pretty face and not great body. Oh, that's not good. All right, here's a sloppy five with, you know, and then you just keep lowering it until you get what you need to get. And that's not, you don't always get there. Because sometimes you say, all right, I found the person, and then the deal can't be closed. But if you're a gay man, I mean, don't you just say, all right, well, we're both looking for the exact same thing.
Well, you've also doubled the number of people there that you could hook up with. I mean, if you're at a regular bar, you're just looking for women, it's half the bar is men.
I got you. And you're also in competition. Not that you aren't in competition at the gay bar, but you're probably in competition for certain people and looks.
Right.
But not necessarily in competition for sex. I think that it's probably pretty easy to pick up a guy. We should ask Robert Andrew this.
We should.
Like, what if he wanted to get laid, what's his ratio? I'll bet it's every time.
But we're not factoring in the top and bottom situation.
Oh, I see. So you have to meet somebody, you both are intended, and then you say, oh, this is what I do. Oh, that's what, we do the same thing. I gotcha.
So maybe cancels out the, that's
yeah, but
the same.
Here's the thing. You don't have to have the small talk with this, get to know each other. You don't have to do that anymore.
Right.
You just walk in and go, hey, I'd like to have sex tonight. This is the type of sex I like to have. I like to be in the back. And they're, oh, I like to be in the back. Go, all right, well, it's nice to meet you. Good luck. And then you just go on to the next guy.
Good luck. Well, what about this, though? I think it's obvious that, you know, you're going to have more success. Just from a number standpoint. But I don't think that you or I would be able to date a guy that's as hot as Tawanda and Katie is.
Why not?
I don't know. I think a really good-looking gay guy, I mean, he's with some rich gay guy or some other equally as good-looking
guy. You guys could totally up your game.
No, I think I could definitely, because here's the deal. If you're looking at a dude, I mean, dudes are very physical. Oh, you're right, because they're more physical. You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, the reason I get to date Katie is because she really likes me. Not because I look like, you know, Kevin Costner, you follow what I'm saying?
Right.
Good analogy. He's like 70 years old now.
It's about right. she doesn't know who that is. So, No, I think.
No, you're right. You're on to something.
All right, let's have a contest. We'll go on a gay so dating service. The hottest guy. Who could get the hottest guy to go on a date with us? And then we'll
Get a really hot guy if we let them know that this is going to be our first time. I think that's going to be an allure to somebody.
That's true. And if we're straight, that's a bigger allure. So that we
right. So yeah. I'm straight, and I've never been with a man, and I'm looking to be with a man. And then if somebody, I'll be like, I need to. All right, you're on deck, but let me see if I can do better.
But I think that's sort of cheating because that makes us different and gives us our own category versus just a sea of Joe Schmo gay guys.
And that only happens once. Once you break your maiden, you're just a regular guy.
You're off and running. Yeah.
But then all we have to do is be hilarious and we can keep this guy.
We can. Oh, this got weird. Moving on. I saw this today. It kind of surprised me. The autograph that is worth the most of anyone's autograph in the entire world. I can find the stupid link. I sent you guys this.
And well, I saw the top three.
Yeah. There it was. I guess someone bought this in, I don't know, it was on some British website.
But it's in pounds, right?
Well, they give the dollar equivalent.
Okay.
At Paul Fraser Collectibles revealed in a study that James Dean's autograph went for $27,000 at an auction.
And he must not have signed a lot of autographs, but that can't be the most valuable autograph. There's other autographs that can't be sold that have more value. You think
going to be any more. I mean, he can't make more, so there's less.
Right, but if I had George Washington's autograph, that has to be worth more than James Dean's autograph. He's a more important person.
Yes.
He was dead, 200 years before James Dean died.
Hmm. I mean, they're saying celebrity. Maybe they're not counting George
Washington. What if I cut Thomas Jefferson's or John Hancock, the most famous signature on the Declaration?
They're just talking about celebrities, though, historical figures.
Well, I'm sorry you don't feel that the fathers of our founding fathers are celebrities.
No, I don't actually. I think they're that slights them. They're more than.
Who's the hottest guy that wears a powdered wig? Who's that?
The guy you're going to date on Grindr. No, do you think? Obviously, I think James Dean being dead increases his value, but the other two, Fidel Castro, they did have. He's not a celebrity.
I'm interested. I guarantee you that first of all, there are bigger names than James Dean. He only did what, three movies? Is that correct, Robbie?
Yes, that I know of.
Yeah, I think he did three or four movies. That's it. So the reason that the fame comes from him, his star burning so brightly and quickly. That's where it came from. So there are people that obviously had been dead long. What about Charlie Chaplin? I mean, is his autograph worth more? See, it also has to do with, like, Cal Ripken's autograph is worthless because everybody has it.
They said of the living people, the winner at this auction was Fidel Castro. $4,200.
So when we say that one more time, Fidel Castro is alive? He's dead.
Are you sure?
I think he's still hanging on.
Is he? God.
It says, according to the Daily Mail, there's
Eric the actor is going to have his way with me now.
Anyone living as well. Yeah. he's alive in my house.
What's he, like 107 years old?
Bruce Lee, 17,000.
Yeah, anybody or a Kurt Cobain, I guarantee you, or Janis Joplin or Jara Hendrix. What about Hendrix?
That's got to be huge. But those guys, they signed a lot. It's also how many are out there.
Yeah.
Is Bill Cosby's autograph worth now more now than it was 2 years ago?
That's a good question.
I believe it is.
But the other thing is, it isn't, yes, he's more, I don't know.
It's more interesting.
Maybe infamy, right, is more interesting than fame. But the problem is somebody has to buy it. So that means somebody has to go to an auction and go, I paid X number of thousands of dollars for a serial rapist's autograph.
There might be someone out there that collects like macabre stuff.
Yeah. How about O.J. Simpson? More after the trial, the murders, or before?
Oh, I think
more now, yeah.
Of course.
Yeah, I think so.
I have his rookie card. I had it before, and I was like, this has to have gone up in value.
I believe episode one is when you said you'd rather be friends with O.J. Simpson than anyone else on the planet.
Neighbors,
yeah. Right? Neighbors, yeah. With O.J. Simpson.
And I stand by that 4 years later. Thank you. What about Jared from Subway?
Yeah, I mean, like Jerry Sandusky, that autograph has to be valueless. You can't be a kid toucher. Nobody's going to buy that thing.
Is like there anyone Elephant that still Man? Has that on his wall? There's got to be a Penn State fan that had a Jerry Sandusky.
There is. That's not worth anything. You could probably go on eBay right now and look for a Jerry Sandusky autograph and find out what it's worth. I'll bet you it isn't worth much. I think that kind of infamy. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing that's weird about Cosby is that kind of infamy. I mean, I actually think that if I'm trying to think of somebody that committed a crime that wasn't so heinous, like Charlie Sheen's autograph is worth more now. But that's just drug use and maybe irresponsible behavior or whatever. But if you're a serial rapist or a child toucher, I think your autograph becomes valueless. I think that means like no, OJ's. I no, think it doesn't. OJ's autograph is worth more. I think because that event, it changed the world. What happened with OJ, I think that's a watershed moment for this country.
Well, I don't know what this will make you feel good, but I'm on eBay. Jerry Sandusky's got his own page here. Silent No More, Victim One's Fight for Justice Against Jerry Sandusky, going for $2.99. Touched, hand signed by Jerry Sandusky and Kip Regeal. I don't know who that is. Penn State scandal rare. This is a book touched and hand signed by Jerry Sandusky. $190.
Yeah, that's not a whole lot. Go check out Jerry.
Really?
Can you look out? But yeah, but somebody has to pay that too.
I found a Time Magazine article that as specifically about, it says online shoppers have shown a strange affinity for Jerry Sandusky memorabilia.
There are weirdos out there. They fall in love with death row inmates. What's Jared's last name? Is it Fogel?
It's Vogel, right? Is it V or F? I think maybe it's Fogel. I just want a signed picture of Jared.
F-O-G-L-E.
Just his face with a signature on it. I'll say it's $50 or less.
Signed, he has a book, by the way, called Jared the Subway Guy. A signed book, $70.
Okay,
that's what they're asking. It doesn't mean that's what's going to go for.
Yeah, and the book probably cost $20.
Yeah, a signed official employee Subway hat. It's $40.
By the way, what the fuck could your story be? I ate subs until I was thin. I mean, how long is this book? Your struggle? You understand? He was a fairly young man when he started eating subs and getting thin.
Yeah.
His whole life is basically just saying, I eat Subway subs.
I went with extra green peppers on that day. It was amazing.
God, I'd love to hear the struggle that he went through.
No, you wouldn't. Why don't we tell the story about those people that may want your autograph, Joe? Your fans.
Oh, I forgot about these guys. Yeah, so I get a I got a Facebook message. Is that right? No, I got an email.
Yeah.
An email. Right.
I have
email.
It right here in front of me.
Go ahead, read it.
Okay. It says, I'm writing to you to let you know me and my wife Jennifer are big fans of your work. You are great at what you do and you are very funny. I don't want to waste your time, but we would be honored to have your autograph. How do we go about getting your autograph? Thank you for your time, Jeff and Jennifer, Florida.
Now, I have on my Facebook hundreds and hundreds of fans from this area. But I always look and I see who our mutual friends are. And almost every time, it's Scott Reardon, it's Mike Anderson, it's people from the 98 Rock Morning Show, or it's Rob Mayer or Mike O'Mara or Oscar Santana, people from the Moore Network. Right. Or it's, you know, a bunch of other local comics, and it's the comedy scene. So I know where people come from.
Or the women, right? That Gramps has talked to.
Exactly. So I know, I'm like, all right, that person listens to the podcast. This person listens to 98 Rock. This person's a local comic. Like I can figure that out. These people live in Florida.
Yeah, I found them on Facebook.
They allude to nothing in terms of how they know me. Did they come to a stand-up show? They don't mention it. Do they listen to the podcast? It's not mentioned. Do they listen to 98 Rock? It's not mentioned. Are they, you know, who they make no mention of how they know who I am. So, of course, the first thing
they're
I think
Atlanta
is,
Braves fans. Again, no, was has nothing to do with you.
I so the first thing you do is you say that because I think it's Dan Ninen, right?
Right.
And because how could I possibly have a fan? No, it doesn't smell like the other fans. It doesn't look and smell like the other fans. So you tell me, you looked it up, there are people, they're on Facebook.
Yeah, these people, this husband and wife with a very specific last name, not Smith or Jones or Robinson, and they exist. So someone could have, and by the way, they're, which this is sort of weird, they're, oh, I guess they gave their address so you could send them something. You get it. But yeah, they have their full address on there.
Let me ask you, what are the chances that you think there's a couple? And by the, because you didn't get this, by the way. You didn't get it.
No.
And the only thing that I really do that reaches to Florida is this podcast.
Sure.
I guess they could listen to 98online.com. Maybe they're transplants. Maybe that's it. But most likely, this is it. You didn't get a friend request.
I didn't. Did you try to friend request them on Facebook?
I sent the female a friend request.
Of course you did, Jeff.
That has been unresponded to.
Well, this was coming from the husband.
Okay, fair enough. But the wife, my wife and I are fans of your work. By the way, who would say that? Your work.
Maybe they're fans of everything you do. You're the Maybe radio.
They love the murder mystery. They love the radio. They love the podcast. Yeah. They love the stand-up.
Maybe it is weird that they don't mention me.
Maybe they're fans of your SSI work.
What? Yes. What? Maybe they're disabled.
Maybe they're fans of when you did the lottery thing where you did the crowd work.
What are the chances that this is legitimate?
Zero.
Maybe no, it's zero. It's no. Not zero. It's not zero.
Well, how could it not be legitimate? Like, what's? I don't know what the joke is. We just.
Well,
we
how
find...
would they know me? That's the thing. And
but why would they do that? How would they? If they have to know you to do this.
No, but there are people that like to fuck with me that we've mentioned on this show. One is a recent breakup, and the other one is a tech savvy Asian.
These so they people... just make up a couple that happen to live exactly where he's saying.
No, maybe they have a relationship with these people. Maybe, who knows? I don't know. Maybe they have is it possible that Chris Restivo has a friend? Is that possible?
No, it's not possible.
You're right. It's not. Okay, so it's not Restivo.
No, he wouldn't do this. He just would call you.
So if I say, Rob,
faggot,
I don't know you, but I'm a.
It's too good.
What's that?
The punctuation was too good for it to be.
Yes.
Good point. So if I said, Rob, I'm a fan. I don't know you. I'm a fan of your work.
Yeah. I've gotten that before. I had a guy in Canada.
I've had that too. I've had people go to my website, but every time they say, I saw you at the DC Improv. I saw you at the Baltimore Comedy Factory. I listened to 98 Rock. There's people that have asked me, listen to 98 Rock, said they want me to host their fantasy draft and would pay me for it. I mean, I've had this happen a bunch of times, but never a couple in Florida that's fans of my work.
As a couple, how would a couple enjoy your work? Would they have seen you at a comedy show? Would they have listened to the podcast? Would they listen? Are they raving? It is weird.
Do they sit on their couch with their laptop just laughing at the Rob and Joe show?
Again, why don't you email them back and say,
hold on. So what I did was I sent a friend request. Now, if you got a friend request for somebody that you and Tawanda would sit on your couch and laugh about, and you got a friend request from them, what would you do?
Let's say it again.
You got a friend request.
Oh, yeah, yes, I'd accept it.
Right, of course, and then you tell the story. You'd be like, oh, my God, I reached out to so-and-so, and now we're friends. We're friends on Facebook. But these people are like, nah, I just want your autograph. I don't want to be your friend on Facebook.
Well, what would the long con be here? Would it be to get your actual address when you mail them something?
I don't know. I don't know what the long con would be.
I mean, I have sort of wondered because since so-and-so went dormant, is it like the scene in the movie where the guy goes off and just in his basement and just starts plotting for years, this long revenge scheme?
It has been a long time since I met.
What would the angle on this be?
To embarrass me.
But why? But why? So why? So you, they're
well.
Not
if you give somebody your autograph, you know, I mean, they can screw with you in many ways.
Do they want your signature so they can?
Yeah, maybe that's it. Maybe they want my signature they can put it on a contract where I've signed my house over to them. I mean, who knows?
Well, you got to email him back. What should he say, Robbie? You're good at this.
Hey, I would not even bother to respond. If they
have to say thank you,
respond to his friend request. He shouldn't say anything.
Well, how about I just send an email to them saying, hey, I got this email, but I sent you a Facebook friend request and you guys didn't accept me. Go fuck yourself.
Or you could just say, listen to this week's podcast. We talk about you guys.
Oh, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to say, I sent you a friend request and we talk about you on this week's podcast. Because if they are really in Florida and they're fans of Joe Robinson, I want to know how.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's please print out a headshot, one of your old headshots.
Yeah.
And I'll scribble on it in crayon and send it to them.
No, I don't want them to have my signature until I legitimize that.
I'm not going to really put your signature. I'm just going to scribble on the picture.
No, just cut out letters out of a magazine and just put it like that.
Like a suicide note.
Yeah. I think they're real, and I think they're big fans of your work.
All right. Yeah, my work. I just want to get them. What's your favorite thing that I do?
say, please rank all of the things I do.
In order. They're like SSI number one.
And then name your top five greatest screenplays of all.
Being in the shower number two.
Oh, that's the show, folks. Hey, please, if you can make it out this Sunday, Magoobie's Joke House is just outside of Baltimore. It's a beautiful comedy club. Plenty of free parking, excellent space, food, drinks. 5 p.m., Justin Schlegel, myself, Joe Robinson, Tommy Simbazo, Tak Moffitt, Robbie Robinson will make an appearance, Marcus Serta.
No, Robbie won't make an appearance. Robbie will be in Taiwan.
No. I'm coming to the show, Joe.
Yeah, he's coming.
Oh. I'm not leaving until the 30th.
Yeah. Last chance to say goodbye to Robbie before he goes to Taiwan and never comes back. Check it out again this Sunday, the 25th, and hopefully we'll see you there. If not, we'll talk to you next week. See you guys.
See ya.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.